Well, good morning again. It's good to be with you and celebrate fellowship like this. I'm going to do things a little different, and in my household, Heather would probably say that's the norm. I'll say I'll do something, and then I'll fly off and go in the other direction. And so this morning, you can tuck that scripture away from 2 Peter for a couple of weeks from now. And I've got some other scriptures I want to share. I don't want to rain on the parade, so to speak, after a beautiful song like that and an uplifting song like that. But folks, it has been another one of those violent weeks on the streets of America. And I don't want to just gloss over that fact either, because I believe that we're just kind of getting to an expectancy. I can only speak for me and not you, but when I turn the news on, I expect to see those kind of things now, and it shouldn't be that way. So today, as this past week has kind of reeked of bloodshed, and if you wanted to watch, which I haven't, there are cell phone videos of police shootings out there that are disturbing, and there are communities at tension with one another and fighting and pushing back when we've seen an ambush in Dallas, Texas that never should have happened at a peaceful gathering. So we need to come before the Father in prayer this morning, is what we need to do. In ancient Israel, if you will, and I'm kind of getting ahead of myself, so let me put this marker back in and go to the Psalms to begin with, which is easy to find if you want to go there with me on Psalm 90, about the middle of your Bible. But in ancient Israel, when these kind of events would take place, the people would lament. If there was a tragedy in the community and something difficult happened and things were breaking down, they would do that. And I don't use that word lament, but it fits it appropriately. If you look it up and consider what it means, it's a passionate plea of something, a word that expresses a passionate grief or sorrow over something that's happening. And this is a time for lament, I believe, today in our congregations, in our sanctuaries, in our houses of worship, because we have the most powerful tool at our disposal in response to these kind of things, if you will, and that's prayer, which I think we all too often take for granted. So we'll pray today. But first, let me share this word with you from, this one's actually written by Moses to the people during a difficult time. And it's titled in this translation, From Everlasting to Everlasting, which implies the character of our God and his faithfulness. But he says, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, wherever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. That doesn't change, no matter our circumstances. Number three, you return man to dust. And you say, return, O child of man, for a thousand years in your sight is but as yesterday when it is past. Or as a watch in the night, you sweep them away as with a flood. They are like a dream, like grass that has renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening it fades and is withered. For we are brought to an end by your anger, by your wrath we have dismayed. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins, in the light of your presence. Let me put my finger there just for a moment and say, just as in America today, there's consequences for turning away. Whenever people turn away from the Lord. For all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? So teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants and satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love that we may rejoice and be glad all of our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us and for as many years as we have seen evil. Let your work be shown to your servants and your glorious power to their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us. and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yea, establish the work of our hands. Folks, I believe this morning that's the word of the Lord for the church, to establish the work of our hands. And our work this morning is to pray. To pray for victims' families, to pray for the injured and their families, to pray for those who would commit acts of violence in response, and for those lost souls who are not ready to meet their God on a day of judgment and rejoice before the one who is Christ Jesus. We pray today for all of these. But before we turn our hearts there, let me go back to where I was going to begin in the Gospel of Matthew, and I'm going to flip around a little bit so you can either mark yours or go back later or just listen. But in Matthew chapter 5, verse 21 and 22, where the sanctity of human life and sin of murder are concerned, Jesus says these words. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you, everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council, and whoever says you fool will be liable to the hell of fire. And then in Ephesians chapter 2, where the unity of the church as a global people of God's concern is involved, where the unity of the church is considered, chapter 2, verses 11 through 22, this is entitled Unity in Christ, or One in Christ. Therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh called uncircumcision by what you called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Let me stop there for a moment and say Paul's talking to those outside the Jewish tradition, but those who have been brought into the Christian tradition, just as us today who were once Gentiles before we trusted Christ as Lord and Savior. Remember that if you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Folks, there's a lot of people like that, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and he preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near, for through him we both have access to one Spirit, to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers or aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. And here's our promise: in him you are also being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. He desires to indwell his people in his church. There's unity in the body of the Christ, in the body of Christ worldwide. Not just in this building, but throughout the world. And so we pray today for these events and things. And then finally, let me share with you before I give some instruction on our time of praying together from the book of Romans, where the good calling of authorities responsible for public safety and order is concerned. Because, folks, whether we agree or disagree with the authorities that we have, ideally they're put there by God for the protection of good people from bad people. Now, I realize it doesn't always work that way, but the intent is there. So Paul says these words even back then: let every person be subjective to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval, for he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be subjection not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For because of this, you also pay taxes. For the authorities are ministers of God attending to this very thing. Pay to all what is owed to them. Taxes to whom taxes are owed. Revenue to whom revenue is owed. Respect to whom respect is owed. And honor to whom honor is owed. Folks, I think we owe some honor today to some folks that have fallen in Dallas from an unprovoked act of violence this week. So let me begin. Just to give you some names and descriptions so we'll have an idea of who we are praying for and what we're praying into. Deceased, Officer Brent Thompson, 43, who was recently married, a grandfather, and a soldier who set up police departments in Afghanistan and Iraq, a member of the Dallas Police Force. Deceased, Officer Patrick Zamaripa, 32, he was a loyal Texas Ranger fan who loved taking his two-year-old daughter to games. Zamaripa was addicted to the thrill of his job, according to his Twitter page. He stated, "I love my country, Texas, family, God, friends, and sports." Deceased, Michael Kroll, 40, who moved from Michigan to Dallas in 2007 to serve with the police department. Officer Michael Kroll, who was a native of Michigan, was known for being caring and having a big heart. He moved 1,000 miles away to become a cop. His mother said that her son was living a dream of being a police officer. Deceased, Michael Smith, 55, a veteran officer who joined the force in 1989. He had two daughters and served as an Army Ranger. A tweet from a friend, Todd Wagner, simply put it, "My friend, period. Heidi's husband, period. Victoria and Carolyn's daddy, period. Jesus redeemed, period. Thank you for serving us all, Mike." Deceased, Lauren Irons, 48, serving the Dallas Police Department for 14 years. He was the father of two and often volunteered to go to his children's school to talk about his job. A fellow officer told the Dallas Morning News that Irons was always the one of the happy ones with a smile on his face. On the injured list, Omar Cannon, 44, Misty McBride, 32. Misty McBride served as an officer with DART Police since 2010. She was shot twice in the arm and the abdomen. McBride's 10-year-old daughter, Hunter, spoke to members of the media outside the hospital where she underwent surgery, and her daughter said, "I'm just glad that she's alive." Really. Yesu Ratana, 39, who served with the DART Police Department, was injured. He worked with the department for 10 years. He's been discharged from the hospital. Gretchen Rocha was hit with shrapnel and hospitalized, but has already been released. Rocha, who is 23, is a Wisconsin native who is married and has a 10-month-old daughter, and she just finished training with the Dallas Police Academy as of this event. There were three other officers injured but not identified. Civilians injured. Shatamea Tyler attended the rally with her four sons. She was shot while shielding one of her children from the gunfire. In Baton Rouge, Alton Sterling was a black man that was killed by police earlier this week. In Falcon Heights, Philando Castell was another black gentleman who was killed by the police earlier this week. Now, whoever was right or wrong is not the question at this point. There are lives shattered and lives lost, and we as the people of God are called to pray into this. And so remember, church, as we go to pray today, there are many, I believe, that are fearful that the violence that we have seen and unfortunately are getting accustomed to and almost too used to, because I hesitated to even do this morning, because it's almost like you have to pick a spot, because there have been so many that have gone on before. And I know I'm gonna miss some folks today, honoring them and lifting them up and praying for them, but we'll do what we do, and God will take care of the rest and bless this time. I know he will. But as the social fabric seems to be unraveling, so to speak, even so, you know, we're part of a social order that transcends this social order, if you will. And we can pray for our country with concern, unlike pagans who pray without no hope. But we have hope. Let me share a thought with you with that in mind before we join our hearts together in prayer. Paul says to the church at Philippi, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enabled him even to subject all things to himself." And so as heavenly citizens, part of our life's calling is to pray for all of the things that go on around us here on earth. So here's what I'd like to do. Allow the Spirit to move you and to move me and to move my spirit as these names are sounded off and read and shared again one at a time. As the Lord leads you, would you pray for this, not for the ones who are gone, because they're gone, and we don't know their state. What a unfortunate situation, but we're praying into the families and the friends and the broken lives that are left behind, and that God would use this somehow to redeem things in their lives, because we know he can. And he can restore those. Even those who have never walked with him before can be drawn to him in these kind of difficult situations. So as I share the officer's family name, you pray as the Lord leads you this morning. And then we'll pray for those who are civilians, for those in the other settings in Louisiana and Falcon Heights. And after we do that, I will pray for some situations in the world that God desires to bring healing and restoration and revival and an awakening of his church to step into. So let's quiet our hearts for a moment as we go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, you are the giver of all things good. And we know this today. Oh God, remind us of who you are in our lives as we consider the landscape and the situation of everything going on around us here in America. Father, stir our hearts to be compassionate toward those who are hurting and broken. And so today, Lord, we simply come. And we raise to you the family of Officer Brent Thompson. May you be their comfort. May you be their steadfast presence in a world spinning out. May they see Christ in the midst of this through the love and care of others reaching out to them. Father, we pray for Patrick Samaripi's family. Pray for healing, Lord, that only you can bring. Oh God, we pray for Michael Kroll's family and for a mother who was willing to release a son to do the very thing that he was passionate for. Now we pray for healing in her broken heart, for restoration and redemption. Father, we pray for the Michael Smith family today. We don't know these people personally, but you do. And some of them may know you, but if they don't, God, we pray that in this tragic moment, as there is no hope, that you would fill the gap and be their hope and their holy presence. Oh, Father, we pray for the Lauren Ahrens family today. We thank you for his service. God, we pray for patience and grieving. That you would just come and quietly whisper a word of hope into the hearts of those that are left behind. And So Lord, as we ask for healing and restoration, it's not just physically for those who are still injured and in the hospital, but we pray for their emotional and their spiritual and their mental healing. Father, we thank you for Omar Cannon being released. But we know that that's not the end of things, Father, for the things he has seen. We pray for his healing today, Lord. God, we pray for Misty McBride and for her family. We pray for Jesus Ritana today, Lord, that you would meet his needs. God, we pray for Gretchen Rocha and for her willingness to be a civil servant. Lord, we pray that you would send those to be Christ to her for healing. And God, we thank you for a mother's heart in Shatamia Taylor as she was protecting children as shots were fired. And Lord, we just pray, God, that her physical wounds would heal, but that more than that, that you would be able to send those to touch the heart wounds. Oh God, we pray passionately. We pray as a lament into the hatred and the anger and all that's being stirred up in this country over issues of racism, but knowing as Christians and followers of Jesus Christ that it goes deeper than that, that there is an enemy of our soul that desires to divide and conquer and destroy. And so we pray that you would bind Satan in these situations today, Lord, for the anger and the outrage and the distrust in Baton Rouge, even now, God, as people are beginning to look at police officers as something to be wary of, instead of, as Paul's word has promised us today, something to protect and to uphold things that are right and good and true. God, we pray for clarity. Oh Lord, in Falcon Heights, where this gentleman has lost his life through the week, Lord, we pray for clarity for the other acts of unnecessary violence that will most likely follow. God, we pray for your hand in the midst of that. We pray that Philandro Castell will not die in vain, but that those who are anxious and angry will be stirred by your Spirit to respond accordingly in love and compassion and God, and mercy. Oh, help us, Lord, to be those kind of people. Help the church to be stirred, to stand up, to respond that way in the face of these brutal acts of violence, Lord, that those who are consumed with anger and consumed with rage would turn it over to you and turn to Christ for healing and restoration, and most importantly, salvation. Oh God, we need you. We need a Savior, and we have one in Christ. Lord, may the things that break your heart break our hearts today. God, we pray for a passion and for a love for Christ that drives out fear. As the Apostle John has promised the church, true love casts out fear, has nothing to do with fear, steps out in faith and boldness and loves in the midst of the storm. Lord, you have told us in your word that we are to love those who persecute us and to pray for those who would push back and to love our enemies, which is not a suggestion but a command. So God, help us to have spiritual ears to hear that today, because not just in this community of faith, but throughout the country, Lord, in communities that are even gathered praying right now, I am sure, for these kind of events, Lord, and those that are up close and personal, even in the Dallas community, God, that you would raise up people of God in those churches to respond in such a shocking, loving way that people couldn't do anything but turn to Christ. Oh God, use these events as only you can. use them to bring spiritual openness to people, a hunger for you and for your truth. These kind of things just seem futile and fruitless and obscene, but you are a God who can redeem anything. So we cry out to you right now, Lord, that you would just open the doors of your blessing. Spiritual openness, that's the word, Lord. People need to be open to you, to hear and to receive the gospel. Even as I'm thinking this through and praying it through, it reminds me of so many years ago when those planes hit the Twin Towers and your church is filled up for a season. Because people were looking for something. And some found it. But as time went by, many just kind of wandered away. God, may we not be wandering away. May we draw so close to you, Lord, during these seasons of life, that we can just reach out and touch you. And then touch someone else. And by touching your garment, be a conduit of healing in the lives of others, Lord. That's our desire. And if it's not, may it be our desire today, Lord. Oh, God, reveal yourself in a special way to all of these people whose lives are just spinning out. Pray that Christians will quickly respond, not just to the physical needs, because those do need to be met, but to the spiritual need. To the fact that we are reminded from these events as well that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but that we wrestle against principalities and spirits of wickedness in high places. God, that is so hard for me to get some days because all I can see is the stuff in front of my eyes. But I trust that your word is true. So even when things in front of my eyes aren't making sense and things are unraveling and spiraling out, thank you for the reminder that you will use for good what Satan intends for harm, and you will draw people to yourself through the brokenness of another's act of abuse and anger and bitterness. Thank you, God, for the people who will be drawn to seek your face. Because of the overwhelming nature of these events, it leaves them, there's nowhere else to turn. There's nowhere else to turn. As Peter so testified to you, whenever many, many turned away from you, and you looked at him and said, would you go also? And he simply said, but Master, you're the only one that has the words of life. Where can I go? So God, we trust that you have the word of life today. Oh God, we pray that you would stand against Satan's attempts to make people experience unresolved anger or unresolved guilt over the loss of a loved one or a friend or a desire to seek revenge. It's not the answer. Revenge is not ours. Oh God, empower these broken, downcast with a powerful witness. When they're called upon to act on these kind of issues or speak about them, Lord, use us to speak truth into people's broken situations. God, we thank you so much. Oh, Lord, we thank you today that you will use for good what we can only see as a mess. Thank you, Lord, for the people who are going to serve and come and reach out. So we pray for those local churches, Lord, that are receiving ministry even now, God. We thank you for opportunities, though sometimes in the midst of difficult situations like this, how in the world can it be an opportunity? But Lord, it is. You're opening opportunities around the world for Christians to help others in your name even now, Lord. So we pray for an empowerment of your Holy Spirit. That you would just lift up and lead and empower those who are in the Dallas area and who are in Baton Rouge and who are in the other area where the third shooting took place. God, that you would just reach in there with your people and make right what is terribly upside down. Dear God, you know this country needs compassion right now. Not next week, not tomorrow, not in a moment, but yesterday and right now. We need compassion, and that true Christianity holds the only true demonstration of compassion through the hope that is in you, Jesus Christ. Oh God, come and have your way. Lord, please give each one of us the determination and the grace to be lights shining out of your love into the world around us through our actions, through our deeds, through these prayers, even now that we're lifting up as a fragrant incense to your altar. For when your people pray, it's never in vain. Oh God, it is never in vain. In the midst of great tragedy and of great terror and of great fear, we must be courageous enough to love you and truth above all other things. Oh God, give us grace to carry the light of love and peace in our hearts for all those who have suffered. And sometimes that's an impossible task because our hearts are not that big, but yours is. And so come, Lord Jesus, fill us, break us, renew us. We pray for those who live in darkness, for their hearts have never known light, have never known love, have never known peace. If we hold hate in our hearts, then we will have no room for love. Speak to us in this moment, as only you can. Lord, we ask you, God, to bring repentance and revival to America. Repentance and revival to America. Dear Father, we know that America has strayed far from your mandates. There is much sin and great rebellion against you and your laws. Oh God, we remember Israel long ago. You withdrew your protection from their nation when they became sinful and rebellious. But you promised. You promised after Solomon had prayed and had spoken to the people and had given the sacrifice and dedicated the temple, and the glory of the Lord fell in the temple and filled that place. What an amazing sight it must have been. Right after that moment, we have these words from you to your servant Solomon. If my people, you have a people, we are chosen. If my people, which are called by my name, Christian, what does that mean? What does it mean to walk with the name Christian? It means for Christ to fill to the utmost. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. Our land is broken. Oh God, our land is hurting. Our land is corrupt and there is violence. But I pray that you will mightily throughout the United States bring conviction of sin and repentance, a great revival. Stir us, Lord, as Peter has challenged us in his letter last week and in 2 Peter, stir us up to remembrance is the word that he has for the church even to this day. It's not that we have to learn something new every day, but sometimes we have to be re-reminded of the old stand by, the basics, the things that keep us in shape spiritually. Stir us up and remind us of who we are and whose we are in Christ Jesus, that as we learned last week from your word, that it starts with faith, and then on that you want to build virtue and make us knowledgeable of you and to have self-control and be steadfast and godly. Brotherly affection and agape love. Stir us up, Lord. That's who we are called to be. See, I confess my own sin. Oh God, I'll say it again. Even as I said earlier this morning, I confess there are times when I have been doubtful and discouraged and disappointed and frustrated with you. I'm sorry. Stir us up. May revival begin with me. May each one of us make that our personal prayer today. And from this day forward, God, I want to live a more holy life. A life in your service. Oh God, please work in us and in America. And may this verse from 2 Chronicles not be some nice saying, but may we see it. If not with our physical eyes, with the eyes of our hearts, Lord, may we see you turn back. May we see your blessing on this country. May we see people healed and sins forgiven and marriages healed and relationships that have been broken for years restored and people that want nothing to do with God Almighty come and say yes. Father in heaven, hear the prayers of your people this day. Oh God, comfort the grieving. I have no idea what it's like for that mother whose son was taken so quickly in an instant. I have no idea. But you do. Oh God, comfort your people. Heal America. Awaken America to its need of you. Lord, awaken our hearts to pray and intercede for a revival of godly sorrow and repentance and a new commitment to you. It's what we need. God, we pray in this place. Your Spirit is here. It's so obvious. We thank you, Lord, for the touch, just one touch of your garment today. God, we pray for the salvation of those who are lost apart from Jesus today, recognizing that as the psalm says, our lives are but a vapor, like the grass here today, gone tomorrow. May a revival of righteousness sweep across this land, Lord. And we thank you for the work you're already doing in churches and ministries and groups throughout the country. That's the news we need every evening. We don't need to get used to turning on the radio and seeing acts of violence and expecting them, or the TV and witnessing or hearing on the radio or opening the newspaper, or the first thing when we have conversation with a neighbor is, did you hear? And fill in the blank of who died or who was shot. But we need to say, did you hear what the Lord has done? We need to be reminded then that we are created in the image of God, and whether the ones who were shot were believers or not, they were created in your image, and therefore, as the word said in Matthew this morning, it was wrong. It's wrong to take those things that have been created in your image. So God, we are reminded of our own vulnerability today. Thank you, Lord. It's not an easy prayer, but thank you, Father, for the reminder of my mortality and my vulnerability. So prepare our hearts and our spirit for a faithful response when we are faced with tragedy. God, thank you for the chance to be a living witness of the living God. And so, Lord, as beings created in your image and loved by you, God, we are called to see that we have things that we hold on to that you tell us to just give you. God, we see our secret sin, but they're not secret to you. So expose us and heal us and send us. Oh God, our life is so fleeting. And so we need the gospel. It's like a life raft for those who are sinking. The good news, there is good news. And that's the story in the midst of this. There is good news on the beginning where we heard in the psalm that you desire to move us. In fact, our marching order today is that you establish the work of our hands upon us. That's not an old word. It's a living promise today for your people, even as it was for the children of Israel. So stir us, Lord. Stir us today. The good news that we have is a hope beyond violence. It's a hope beyond the brokenness of this world. It's a hope beyond the things that unfortunately we will begin to see even more of in the coming days, as there's pushback and there's retaliation. But in Christ, there is hope, there is life, and there's redemption. And so God, we just ask this morning, as I know you've already had your way among us, as you are stirring hearts in this place, that you would keep the fire burning. Help us to not grow weary of doing good. And help us to be as you were with your Father when you would go away to quiet places, to be restored in prayer so that you could go far further to your neighbor and love your neighbor as you love your God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you today. And so, Lord, as we close this time of prayer, as we have lifted up these families, these individuals, the church, the community, your world, help us to bring it home and lift up ourselves, our own families. May we be found faithful in the little things that matter most to you. And may we be wise and bold enough to let go of the things that we think our neighbor cares about, when in reality they may not even recognize what we're doing or saying. May you be the one that guides our heart today. It's in Jesus' name we pray, and all God's children say, amen.